As David said, on our holiday, we went to this church, Numa Church, because I've been watching online that they've had a real revival in this church. So I was we were very keen to, and it took a bit of effort, you know, we had to get up at, I don't know, 5 o'clock or something and leave at 6 o'clock because we're in Phillip Island, which is quite a long way. It was so worth it. It was like, we knew the guy, he came from Bethel and he's established another church, you know, 10 or more years ago, but he was brilliant. And so I'm calling this look forward, not behind. Now, personally, I could get Nathan to come. Come here, Nathan, please. Now, I want you to stand over there, right? And then I want you to look behind, a bit further away. Then I want you to look behind. Now, no, you just got to turn your head. No. Face me. Turn your head and face there. Now walk towards me with your head. Oh, well, he's doing it too good.
Oscar, that deserves an Oscar. Yoo-hoo-hoo!
Thanks. Thank you. Look, if we keep looking behind, it's just an example. It's jolly hard to be able to walk and keep looking behind. So it's look forward, not behind. Okay, Haggai 2, 3, and I've written these verses out. It's Haggai 2, verses 3 to 5 and verse 9. Who is left among you? So this is the children of the Israelites had just come into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And they'd got the foundation happening, right? So they could start to see what it was going to look like, just the space. Who is left among you? Who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Question. In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? So Solomon's temple was amazing. And they're looking at these foundations and they're thinking, you have to be joking. It's small. It's not the same. It's not going to be as great. Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you. My spirit remains with you. Do not fear. So that was the word. So there was the old people were weeping. Oh, no, it's terrible. Look, we know what it was like in the past. But the young, they were rejoicing. They were high and dancing. You know, they danced over there. And they were thrilled about what it was looking like. But there was this attitude of behind, looking back, looking behind. Because why? They were carrying disappointment. Do you know that emotion? Oh, yeah. I think we've all felt that emotion. Because it just felt so disappointing. It wasn't going to be as good as the past. And he says, stop weeping. Stop living in disappointment. Don't fear. The glory of this latter temple will be greater than the former, says verse 9. Glory comes from the presence of Jesus, right? So stop weeping and keep working. Because what can happen is you can get overwhelmed with disappointment. We're looking around at what we can see and we think, oh, no, this is not looking very hopeful, and can go to discouragement and disappointment. But these verses are saying keep working. Disappointment distracts and it detracts. We need faith for future presence. That's what we need, faith to see our present from the future, not from the looking back. God does have plans and desires. He does have plans for us personally, and we're believing he still does have plans for the High Family. But it does need something. It does need faith. Faith gets God's attention. Did you know that? It's heaven's currency. And our response matters. It's not just sitting there and thinking, well, come on, God. It's up to you to do it all. 2 Kings 4:1. What's that story? So I'm going to take you through a few stories. It's the widow. She had no food. She had debt. And they were going to come and take her sons away to pay. And she was going to basically lose everything. And it was a terrible, everything was in drought. It was terrible. She was in a terrible spot. But Elisha came along and he says, and they chat and he says, listen, I want you to go and get some jars. And by the way, not a few. Get as many as possible. Get heaps. So the oil ran, just kept pouring. They poured oil into these jars, more and more and more and more and more and more. And they turn around and say, well, where's the next jar? And they say, oh, that's the end. No more jars, no more oil. So the oil stopped. Now the widow, she had a lot to get through, didn't she, to come to the point where she was going to respond to this prophet. She might have thought he was being a bit insensitive and a bit lacking compassion, because she her heart was hurting. She was in a terrible plight. But she managed to hear what he said, go and get all the bottles. Then she didn't just hear, but she responded. She moved. Faith has to have some movement and it has to have some form. It's not just this airy-fairy thing. She responded, faith to believe this crazy plan, so she could believe this ridiculous plan. Go and get empty bottles. What's that got to do with my need? And she also, faith looks like preparation. So there was some preparation happening. She had to go and get some bottles and come back. Was the outcome good or bad? Nathan? Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was so amazing. So, okay. So she didn't look back. She heard, she responded, and she got into action. Hebrews 11:7, which is the faith chapter, and Noah. Now, Noah was living in the middle of nowhere. Noah was in nowhere. It was just dirt. You know, it's inland. It was no water. And God has a little chat to him and says, you know, things aren't going so well. I'm going to send some rain. Rain? He'd never seen rain. He didn't know what rain was. What's that got? What's that look like? What's it feel like? What's it smell like? So, but he managed to hear the plan. He managed to move on it and started to build an ark in the middle of nowhere, being ridiculed because nobody understood it. And everybody was invited to be part of it, but nobody wanted to be part of it because it was so ridiculous. So, but he was moved enough to follow, he heard, he responded, and he prepared. So that was action. And he got those nails in there and the big ark appeared. When God speaks to us, it's like us becoming pregnant, or it's like a seed taking root inside us. So we must keep moving on it, because we know in a normal pregnancy, if it stays there, well, it's not going to be a good outcome. And you may eventually birth, but it might be as floppy as anything, or it may not even have a life. So we must hear and respond and action, not get stuck on disappointment. When we hear, we must move. Faith and preparation's needed. But we definitely need intercessors for this season. We need to understand that we can't just do this by ourselves, whatever this is. We're like Noah. We don't know what this is. But God does. But he's needing us to have that heart that wants to hear and wants to respond. There is harvest time. I mean, even just the way the world is, you've got to get that feeling that something is happening. And the question is, are we ready? That's the question. Peter, in Luke 5, he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. But have a guess what? He just brought his boat in. He was full of disappointment. Not a fish was in his net. And Jesus brought out one of his ridiculous plans yet again and says, go back in, put your nets in. And luckily, somehow, Peter managed to get his through the disappointment, thought it was a crazy idea, but he did it. The action. And the result was awesome again. Awesome again. So he had to have faith to partner with Jesus. That's what he's calling for.